So, today I'm going to do what I did a couple of weeks ago, and that is I'm going to incorporate the reading of scripture passages into my sermon, because the passages for today seem to lead one into the other. At least for me, they do. And that's the way my thought process worked this week as I was preparing these words. Remember, though, that last Sunday, Pastor Barbara gave all of us homework. Do you remember that? You remember your homework? I haven't forgotten, but we'll get to that later. So now let's begin first with the Hebrew scripture, which comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. We don't often hear from Nehemiah. It's one of those short little books kind of put somewhere hidden in between some big books in the Hebrew scripture. But the translation I'm using today is Robert Alter's Hebrew Bible Translation with Commentary. Now, Alter was a professor of Hebrew and comparative literature at the University of California, Berkeley, for about 50 years. And one of the reasons I'm using his translation is because he is Jewish and he knows a lot about the Hebrew language, especially ancient Hebrew. Oftentimes, when we read a translation that has been done by someone who is a Christian, there's a little bit of bias toward Christianity and looking at Hebrew scripture from a Christian point of view, which is fine. But I like to go back and read it from someone who has a Jewish understanding of Hebrew scripture. So listen now for the word of God in this scripture reading from Nehemiah. And all the people gathered as one in the square that is in front of the water gate. And they said to Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the teaching of Moses, with which the Lord had charged Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the teaching before the assembly, men and women, and all who had understanding to listen on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it before the square that was before the water gate, from first light to midday, in the presence of the men and women, and those who had understanding. And the ears of all the people were listening to the book of teaching. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden tower that they had made for this purpose. And by him stood Mattathiah and Shema, Ananiah and Uriah, Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right, and on his left Padiah and Mishael, and Malchiah and Hashum and Hashbadanah, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra the scribe opened the book before the eyes of all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, raising their hands. And they bowed and prostrated themselves then on the ground to the Lord. And Yeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Amin and Akub and Shabbatai and Hodijah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites were explaining the teaching to the people, and the people kept standing. And they read from the book of God's teaching, expounding and giving reasons, and they explained what was read. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, and the Levites, explaining to the people, said to all the people, Today is holy for you to the Lord your God. Do not mourn and do not weep. For they were weeping when they heard the words of the teaching. And he said to them, Go, eat delicacies and drink sweet drinks, and send portions to whoever has none prepared. For the day is holy to our master. Do not be sad, for the rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open our ears, our hearts, our minds. The book of the teaching of Moses with which the Lord had charged Israel. In Hebrew, this is Sefer Torat Moshe. The Hebrew teaching The Hebrew for teaching is Torah. And in time, this teaching of Moses, with which the Lord had charged Israel, became known as the Torah. To us, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But to the Jews, it was the Torah, and still is the Torah. Now, I have a question for you. Would you stand in an open square from first light to midday and listen to me read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? I don't think so. Would you? I kind of doubt it. But for the Israelites' return to Jerusalem from Babylon, it marked a coming together again as a people of God. The walls of Jerusalem and the temple had been rebuilt, giving the people a sense of physical security. And now, this recently edited and compiled book of the teaching of Moses was being read to the people, and it gave them a sense of spiritual security. They were coming together again as God's community in Israel. 500 or 600 years later, the public reading and explanation of the teaching was still offering the Israelites a sense of security when they gathered in a synagogue in Nazareth to hear a young rabbi read and explain scripture. This time, though, it was not from the Torah, but from the prophet Isaiah. So listen now to the word of God in the scripture found in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. In this story, we find Jesus reading a prophet's words found in the book of Isaiah. Jesus was speaking of bringing good news to Zion, to Jerusalem. Now, this prophet in Isaiah was filled with the Holy Spirit and appointed by God. And this prophet in Isaiah is the one who brings hope and consolation to Israel. Sometimes these verses in Isaiah are said to be a prophecy about Jesus. And that may well be. But for the Israelites who had been stuck in Babylon, they were not concerned with a far-off Messiah. No, these words were words of comfort from their God, and that their God would rescue them from Babylon. And God did rescue them. But we know that those years between their return from Babylonian exile and the birth of Jesus were not all glory and honor for Israel. And now, yet again, here we find Jesus in Nazareth, in Israel, under another foreign power, Rome. Rome was just another one of those foreign oppressors. So imagine the crowd's reaction when Jesus speaks these words, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is saying of himself that he is the one who has been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. With these words, Jesus is announcing to the world that this is his call, if you will. And all of the eyes were fixed on him. Was this Jesus finally going to be the one who rescued the Israelites from oppressors? Jesus' life did change what was going on for some folks through healings and miracles. And yes, for those who followed him, there was a renewed sense of hope that things would change. But there was something different about Jesus. What he was doing was not what was expected, nor was it only for the Jews. Unlike the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and unlike the time of the prophet in Isaiah, the good news that Jesus proclaimed, the good news that God was at work in the world, was for all people, not just the Hebrews, not just the Israelites. No, this time God sent Jesus to the entire world to be the living, breathing manifestation of the book of the teachings of Moses. To be the living, breathing teacher and explainer of God and God's word. To be the manifestation of God's love for the whole world. What better way to show God's love than to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke? What better way to be God's love than to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners? What better way to be God's love than to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Yes, Jesus did all of this in his teaching and preaching, in his healing and feeding people, in his death on the cross, and in his resurrection. But, and this is a big but, did the world really change that much? Did people really learn to be God's love? After all, after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, there was still oppression and poverty, illness and warfare. The selfishness of humanity was still all around the world. But I think we can still answer this question, did anything really change? Well, maybe. Though it's not recorded in Luke's gospel, at the end of Matthew's gospel, we find these words of Jesus to his remaining 11 disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Creator and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This command to his disciples is the anointing of a new set of prophets, a new generation of people who were called to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And do that they did. These prophets planted communities of Christ believers in many places, including in the city of Corinth. Which brings us to our epistle lesson for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, the reading is a continuation of last week's lesson about the gifts God has given to each of us and that Pastor Barbara preached about. So listen now for the word of God in Scripture, starting with a portion of last week's Scripture. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then Paul continues in his letter to the Corinthian church to describe the church as a body. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body in Christ, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, that one Spirit again keeps coming up. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, men and women, children and adults, everybody. We were all made to drink one Spirit. I think you know that the rest of the story talks about, you know, can a body be just a foot or just an eye or just one part? And Paul says, no, it can't. For God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed every single one of you to be God's love. God has given every single one of you gifts to use and appointed you to use them to be the flesh and blood manifestation of God's love in our time and in our place. So, remember your homework. Have you figured out what your gift is? And has the Spirit activated that gift in you? Ponder those things now while we watch a recording of yesterday's Zoom consistory meeting, during which our consistory and officers were installed, and two of our members, Don Schmitz and Dominic Cicciolo, were ordained as deacons.
Pastor, these people, Lisa Colliniger, Jeff Hughes, Laura Hankins, Terrence Hayes, Jeff Edwards Knight, Jim Dwiggins, Vondalyn McQueen Simmons, Martha Bomley, Alex Felsing, Don Robinson, and Greg Walker, and also Kathy Smith, have been called by God in accordance with the faith and order of the church to serve among us. They have accepted their call and are here to witness to their willingness to serve.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is an honor to be entrusted with responsibility for service on the Consistory of Holy Covenant United Church of Christ. Having prayerfully considered the duties and responsibilities of your ministry, are you prepared to serve with the help of God in Christ's name for the glory of God?
I am.
Do you promise to exercise your ministry diligently and faithfully, showing forth the love of Christ?
I do.
Relying on God's grace.
Each of you who have committed to serve as officers of the congregation, willing to accept the office to which you have been called, and are you prepared to serve with the help of God in Christ's name for the glory of God?
I am.
Members of this household of faith, and for this recording, that is each one of us as representatives of the Congregation of Holy Covenant, since we cannot meet in person. So members of this household of faith, you have heard our brothers and sisters in Christ who have answered God's call to service. Let us affirm our intention to live in covenant with them. We gather in celebration of the joy that is ours to be partners with you in the service of Jesus Christ. We promise to love you, honor your leadership, and assist you That together we may be a faithful church of
Jesus
Christ. Now, would each of you who have already been ordained reach your hands out virtually like this, so that we may ordain Dom and Dawn as deacons for Holy Covenant, and know that even though we are doing this virtually, that the Holy Spirit flows through the Ethernet and flows through those airwaves. The laying on of hands is the symbolic act whereby the church in every age recognizes God's call to ministry in the lives of the faithful women and men, and ask the Holy Spirit to confer upon them the gifts of ministry. We lay hands upon you, Dawn Schmidt and Dominic Cicciolo, as deacons. So let us offer now our prayers and blessings as representatives of the Congregation of Holy Covenant. Eternal God, you have called these people
to serve
you in this household
of faith
and in the world, which you have entrusted to our care and keeping. Send your Holy Spirit
on them,
that they may serve
among us
with honor and faithfulness. Help them to be diligent in their duties, that your church may prosper in the mission you place before it. May their example
worthy for all of us
to follow, as we are united in Christ's ministry to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the people of Holy Covenant United Church of Christ, we rejoice to announce that you are each ordained as members of the consistory. May your service be a blessing and cause you to grow in wisdom and in grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. May the peace of God be with you all.
And also with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
The joys of Zoom and some of the strange things of Zoom, but I think God heard all of our voices as one voice yesterday. I want to take a brief minute now to issue the call of God to each one of you. Wherever you are, whatever your gift, you are called to serve the church. Siblings in Christ, will you accept your call to serve God and the church, to be the living, breathing manifestation of God's love in our church, in our community, and in the world, using the gifts God has given you for the good of humanity and for the glory of God? If so, say, "I will," with relying on God's grace. Siblings in Christ, each of you has been activated and energized by the Spirit to use your God-given gifts for God's purpose. Let us pray. This prayer is not in your bulletin nor on the slides, so I will say it sort of like a wedding vow, and you repeat after me. Together we celebrate the joy. Together we celebrate the joy of being partners with each other, of being partners with each other in the service of God and God's church, in the service of God and God's church. We promise to love each other. We promise to love each other, to honor each other, to honor each other, to assist each other.
So that together
we can be the body of Christ in the world.
We can be the body of Christ in the world.
Amen.
Amen.